بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I'd like to thank the brothers for inviting me again to my old home, Belmore Masjid, which is used to be my old home. Still my home, but it's not, I'm not consistent here as I used to be. And the brothers asked to talk about a very important matter that it's been an issue of a debate amongst a lot of the brothers and an issue of a debate in the da'wah, which is a matter that is, it shouldn't be a matter of debate or disagreement. Something should be as clear as water, as clear as daylight, as clear as Islam. They said, speak about our priorities as Muslims. As a Muslim, what shall I do? The first and foremost thing in my life. Of course, I did speak about this topic 2 years ago, about there 2 years ago, in this place. And the brothers want more details, and they want the subject to be spoken about. That for me, as a young man who comes to Islam and start practicing Islam, what I need to do in my life, what should I do, and how I should go about Islam. Of course, there is people who like to invite you and have you as a number, plus one, and leave your mind and your brains stagnant, dead. You dance when they want you to dance, and you sleep when they want you to sleep. You say when they want you, you talk when they want you to talk. In the name of Islam. In the name of Islam. But the reality that we come to Islam to free our mind from the control of the media, from the control of ideologies, and we want to submit ourselves to Allah. Al-Islam is to submit. I want to submit to the Almighty Allah. And here are two questions. Who is Allah? And how do I submit? Who is Allah is answered in the field of Aqidah. And how do I submit in the field of Fiqh? It is imperative that we speak about our priority. As in the hadith, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to him, كَانَ النَّاسُ يَسْأَلُونَ الرَّسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ. People used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him, what should we do good? وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ أَقْعَ فِيهِ. I used to ask him about the evil. What is wrong? What I should not do? Of course, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that when you start coming to the masjid, no one need to tell you that khamr is haram, because that is known amongst the Muslims, and you don't need a teacher to tell you khamr is haram, alcohol is haram, riba is haram. You must pray 5 times a day, unless you're someone who just reverted to Islam yesterday. Even the reverts, they know that. But that it, the problem that we have, that we do not understand what we stand for as Muslims. Who are we as Muslims? If we understand who we are as Muslims, we don't get so-called leaders, between brackets, with big ears, saying us and the kuffar, there is no difference between us. We all one. We all worship one God. Democracy and Islam are the same. There is no difference between them. Judaism and Christianity are the same with Islam. We all worship one God. We belong to the Abrahamic religion. Yani we become so rotten in the field of Aqidah that we are now disputing either Nasara or Yahud, Christian, Jews, Kuffar or not. We cannot deny that because you hear it every day. You see it every day. It's not something hidden from the Muslims. It is on television, it is in your ears, in the masjids where La ilaha illallah is supposed to be propagated. You hear it every day. And the smart companion, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, he wants to know the evil. He wants to learn what is wrong so he can stay away from it. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, يُوشِكُ أَن تُنْقَدَ عُرَى الْإِسْلَامِ عُرْوَةً عُرْوَةً. يعني this is Umar. 1,400 years ago he said, the signposts, the landmarks of Islam, they're just about to be nullified or put down one after one. He said, إِذَا نَشَأَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ مَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. When this happens, Ya Umar, when this happens, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, when this happens, Ya Muhaddath, when? He said, when we have people who grow in Islam, they do not know the Jahiliyyah. What is the Jahiliyyah? If people do not know what is shirk and what is haram and what is kufr and what is nawaqid al-Islam, the nullifiers of Islam, then this is when Islam is destroyed. And wallahi, if you can't see it, you are one of two people. You are either blind, really blind, or you know it is wrong, but for dunya gains, you just don't want to say anything about it. You can't be saying you are a Muslim with knowledge of Islam and you see this happening and say, you cannot teach people Tawheed. You cannot teach people Aqeedah. You cannot teach them the necessary ilm of Islam. Why? Because it separates the Ummah. It causes problems. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. We're seeing Islam يُنْقَدْ عُرْوَةً عُرْوَةً. Part by part, it's been dismantled until we have nothing called Islam anymore. We have nothing to stand for anymore. There is no more aqeedah we stand for. And that is the problem. And that is the priority of Islam. When a da'i, when he calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would not know really what tawheed means, and he avoids speaking about tawheed, and he twists and turns when it comes to the issues of tawheed. When we want to speak about what we need to do as Muslims, what do we stand for? They say, khalas, believe in Allah, believe in the Messenger, believe, 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 believe. Yes, we believe in all of them. But what nullifies them? The problem is not only believing in them. You need to know the evil, as Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman said. You need to know the jahiliyyah, what it means. Otherwise, you would not know what is Islam. Islam is simple. The aqeedah is very simple. But when we had this long history of people trying to destroy the aqeedah of Islam, then you need to learn. And you need to learn these acts which is a wrong, to say this is shirk, this is haram, this is kufr, this is innovation. How many people has trampled and fell into the shirk wal-iyadu billah, and into haram wal-iyadu billah, and into innovations wal-iyadu billah. And if you are to open your mouth, they will turn against you. Why they turn against you? Because either they're ignorance or there is whims in their hearts. The importance of learning aqeedah, which is the first thing a Muslim needs to learn. And by learning aqeedah, we're not telling the brothers nor the sisters to call others kuffar. This is a myth. Something that want to scare you from learning the aqeedah. We're not there to make and call individuals kuffar. But in reality, a religion without calling, yani without takfir is not a religion. Becomes soup and a cocktail. But we teach the brothers the aqeedah so they learn what is wrong and so they can protect themselves. Calling others kuffar is the role of ulama and a great shuyukh who practice this knowledge for a long time. And if a brother speaks in ignorance, that is his fault, not our fault. If a brother opens his mouth with ignorance, it's his fault. And we will talk about the manhaj of the Quran in teaching aqeedah. We will talk about that to show you that learning the aqeedah is not a theory without a practice. And if it doesn't affect your heart and soften it, then you haven't learned anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. It's been revealed to you, O Muhammad, and to the ones before you, yani to the prophets before you and the followers of the prophets. If you were to associate something with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all your a'mal will be nullified. All your deeds will be nullified. That is the importance here. That I could do so much a'mal, I could do so much deeds, but if I fall into shirk, all those deeds are worth nothing, will be rejected, will be thrown away. And that is what we have as a calamity today, that people do fall into shirk. But how would I know what is shirk, what is not shirk, if I haven't learned at least what is shirk and what is not shirk? Or at least the principles to say, these acts are shirk and these acts are not shirk. The ummah today has fallen even into shirk al-rububiyyah. And people do not notice. When people allow others to ask dead people beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're telling people to make shirk, and then they want to defend the shirk. And when you talk, they give you a label. In reality, this label, it's only a pill that you take so they can scare you. With this label, once you dig a little bit, you find it's a myth, a scare tactic that was used even before these times. And it's not now it's happening, it's always been happening. Yani imagine Al-Mu'tazila, they used to call themselves Ahlul Adl. We are the people of justice. We are Ahlul Tawheed, and we are the people of Tawheed. And same thing, Al-Fatimiyun, they called themselves Al-Muwahidun, which is the Ismailites, the Druze, which is Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, said, these people are worse to the Ummah than the Christian or the Jews. And their kufr is greater than the Christian and the Jews. So labels, it means nothing. Names, it means nothing. It is when you follow, this is what it means something. You could have a brother with a nice, very long beard, comes to the masjid, mashallah, takbir to the sunnah and everything. But in reality, if he's not practicing the Quran and sunnah, he cannot be labeled Ahl Sunnah. Just a name. A name, a banner, but the reality, it doesn't exist. The Ahbash, they call themselves Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So not everyone who takes a name, that means he befalls under it. It's to go back to the Quran and Sunnah, to go back to the Quran and Sunnah as a criterion between the Muslims, and not to turn away to whims and desires for position and wealth and money. My brothers, what is the foremost obligation on the Muslim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. No, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. After you learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you have people who say, why do you need to learn about names and attributes? Why do you need to learn about Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah and Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat? Why do I need to learn about all this? Why do I need to spend so much time learning? Because my brothers, I want to use this simile, this parable. One of the shuyukh has used it once. He said, the prophets came to us with the aqidah of Islam, and they built a beautiful castle. It's called the castle of Iman. And they put landmarks around it, and they built it for you. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam came and built that. Musa built that. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam built that castle. You get the people who have whims and desires, and from different backgrounds and different understanding, they took big rocks and they start smashing and hitting, destroying this castle. Now, majority of this castle collapsed. And the bricks, all of it got mixed together. The bricks that the people were destroying the castle with the castle, with the bricks that built the castle, that yani the castle was built with. So the bricks were mixed. Now, a person who's ignorant, they would say, yallah, let's build the castle of Iman all over again. And then when he picks up the bricks, he would not distinguish between the brick that was used to destroy Islam and the brick which is used to rebuild Islam. And he builds all the castle, and he wants the people to live in the ruin. In a building that is not built from Islamic bricks. But the ulama came, and they said, no, let's redraft and show the people the posts and where they should build and where they should put the bricks as it used to be originally. as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built it. And that's what really happened to the Ummah. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built this castle, the first innovation came, the innovation of Khawarij, which is to do with the issues of Iman. And they started to destroy the castle. Followed by another innovation, which is the Shiaism and extremism in Shiaism, Tashayyu. They started to throw also. The ulama came very quickly and they wrote books specifically for the issue of the Khawarij and the issues of Shiaism, the early books of Islam. And they said that anyone who falls into major sin, he's not a kafir. He's still a Muslim. And the ulama taught these books to their students. Did the Sahaba speak about the Khawarij? Or did they really speak about that whomever practices a major sin, he's not a kafir? They never spoke about the issue. It was here and there a bit of a quote, but in reality, it was not intense. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhum knew about the reality of that issue. They understood it. They knew whomever falls into major sins, he's not a kafir. But at the same time, there was no necessity to speak about it. There was no need to speak about it. And then you have the Jahmiya who came, who denied Allah, outstripped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his names and attributes. Until one of them said, you cannot say Allah exists, nor he doesn't exist. Where'd they get this? It's a dream. It's a fairy tale to them. Then the ulama wrote books like Imam al-Tahawi and others. And there were people who said that it is no qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know what's going to happen. Then the ulama came very quickly to build these bricks, to put the milestones, to put the signposts. No, what you're saying is wrong. And they built and they wrote books to deal with this matter. Otherwise, if we were to leave it, they will destroy the castle of Iman. As what happened to the Christians and the Jews. Philosophers came, and Aristotle and others came to the Christianity with their ideologies, and they destroyed it. Yani the students of philosophy, because Aristotle died way before Isa. They destroyed it. Until we have today, one of their greats, the Pope, he said, yes, our religion is a mixture of philosophy and the teaching of Christ. He agreed to that. But Ahlul Sunnah, they say, no, our Aqidah is based on the Quran and Sunnah. This is what we stand for. We disagree with that philosophies, with the wrong bricks. They bring these wrong bricks to build. They said, no, this bricks was used to destroy Islam. I would not make it part of Islam. And you have some people today, they make these bricks that were used to destroy Islam as a necessity. And they teach them in their schools. They would tell them, ilm al-kalam is the most first thing you should learn. And wallahi, if you open a book of ilm al-kalam, you feel your heart black as the night. And, of course, I do not advise anyone to read it. In the first heading, he will tell you, what is the first most obligation? أول واجب على المكلف. What is the first thing you should know? What is the first thing for us, Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah? Is to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And die on that, and live on that, and understand it, and learn it, and learn the conditions, and we know what it means in its reality. They say, no. First thing, you have to have doubt in the existence of Allah. Then you have to prove yourself that Allah exists. And this is, they call it aqidah. Where they will tell you the first thing you need to learn is to have doubt in Allah, then to prove otherwise. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If you were to ask him who created the heavens and the earth and subjected the sun and the moon, they will tell you Allah. Say, the issue of tawheed even misunderstood. And that's why the ulama, they put milestones for us to know this castle of Iman, to know the difference between the bricks which is used to destroy Islam and the bricks which is used to build Islam. And then, the matter after that, it grew bigger. Al-Mu'tazila said, the Quran is not the word of Allah. Allah never spoken in the Quran. Then Imam Ahmad said to them, no, it is Al-Quran, Kalamullah, Khayru Makhluq. It's not created. Now you get some funny quote to say, where did the companions get the, يعني speak about the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And get me one dalil where they spoke about the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب, where did Imam Ahmad get that the Quran is not created? There's nothing in the Quran and Sunnah to say it in that specific words. Nothing in the Quran and Sunnah to say it in that specific words. Where did he get it from? Is Imam Ahmad mubtadi'? On the contrary, if anyone disbelieves in what Imam Ahmad said, the ulama on a consensus is a kafir. So where did he get it from? The ulama expand the science of tawheed to suit the calamity of their modern time. And there is a necessity. The companions never spoke that the Quran not created or created. They never touch up to the topic. But they believed that the Quran, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the calamity grew in the ummah, where the Fatimiyun, Al-Ubaidiyun, they ruled for over nearly just about 300 years, from about 900 in the modern Christian calendar till about 1200. And they bring extremism, worshipping people. They invented the Mawlid. They invented worshipping graves. They invented all the innovations that you see at extreme innovations. And then nullified Aqidat al-Uluhiyya, where they allowed worshipping beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the early years before that, the ulama never spoke about Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, even though there was quotes here and there and here and there. But it wasn't a necessity, because it was something clear like the sun. I don't need to speak about it. Why do I need to talk about it if it was clear and known amongst the Muslims? But when the innovation started, al-A'imma stopped and they said, hang on a minute. We have to rebuke and stop this. And then they divided Tawheed so we can understand that ibadah is only towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has to be done to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. A lot of people misunderstand this issue of ibadah. They think if you do not believe that this person is a creator, sustainer, owner, controller of the world, you can sacrifice to him. You can prostrate to him. You can circumambulate around his grave. It's no problem, as long as you don't believe in him, that he's a Lord. But anything that the Sharia considered as a ibadah, to turn it to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shirk. But this, what I told you now, it was known amongst the ummah. Today, it seems like it is blurry. And the ulama, not like some today, the ulama back then used to deal with the issues of their people, what is happening today. Yani Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, inside Baghdad, what do you think he used to teach? The chapter of Iman. Chapter of Iman, that Iman increases and decreases, and Iman is saying and action. Why? Because the Murji'ah took hold over there, and there was Khawarij. And the Murji'ah, and he wants to teach the people the Aqidah, because that was the issue at his time. Why would he speak about the Quran that it is not created, it is the word of Allah? Because that is the issue that he is dealing with today. That is the priority of the Muslim. To learn his tawheed, to know how to deal with the issues that he is dealing with today. And then the issue grew also bigger and bigger, where people started to debate the issues of uluhiyya and to speak about the issues of uluhiyya. And as if it wasn't clear. But my brothers, it was clear to the companions and to later generations. That's why you do not see direct quotes. The ulama came to clarify these things to us. As the ulama clarified the names and attributes, as they clarified issues of Iman. طيب, if you to take Kitab al-Tawheed, written by Al-Imam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, and to take Kitab al-Tahawiyyah, you read Kitab al-Tahawiyyah, you find that Al-Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah, who was in the early years of Islam, in the first three centuries of Islam, and Imam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, who died 200 years ago, if you were to compare, you see he's talking about total different things that Imam al-Tahawi. The Imam al-Tahawi, at his time, he had a problem with the Mu'tazila. He wanted to rebuke them. But Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, when he came, he found people in Saudi, what you call today Saudi Arabia, were worshipping the trees. And the woman would come next to a palm tree, and she would rub herself against it, because she wanted a boy. And she would say, Ya fahl al-fuhul, irzqni waladan qabla al-hawl. She would call the tree, a male of the males, give me a child before the end of the year. طيب, this man, he would say, okay, now I'm going to talk to you about names and attributes in the Mu'tazila. Would that be right? Would that be a alim who's living today with the people and seeing the problem with the people? Or he wants to tell her that this is an issue of lordship. The sustainer is your Lord, Allah. It is shirk worse than shirk or uluhiyya. It's shirk in the Rabb to say there is someone who sustains beside Allah. One of the great kinds of shirk. And then he said, he wrote his book to deal with his issues. Now some smart person will come today, yeah, but the companions never spoke about this. Yeah, because the companions never had a problem about issues of uluhiyya. That is the problem. I cannot drug my people and tell them, shut your mind and follow me and live isolated from the rest of the society. And you get smart one who says, we want to unite the ummah. Based on what we unite the ummah? Based on what? If Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, in the battle of Yarmouk, he divided the Muslims to 9 different groups. Why? So he know where is the weak point. And he said, your tribe fight under you, and your tribe fight under you, and you, and you, and you. After days and days of defeat, he wants to know what is the problem. He divided his own army so he can find the weak points. We will unite on what and with whom? If our tawheed we still dispute, will you unite with someone who says there is no God above the heavens? And if you ask him where is Allah, he will say, you can ask. Tablesha cannot ask. Man Sahih Muslim, she asked. And no, it's not a da'if hadith. No. The hadith is authentic and it's in Sahih Muslim. And the word she said, Ayn Allah. And she said, where is Allah? Now you get someone who is very smart. He said, Allah is not inside, not outside, not left, not right, not inside this world, not outside this world. Say, hang on a minute, Habibi, I think you lost your Lord. The ulama, they said, the one who give figure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're worshipping idols, and the ones who denies the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's worshipping non-existence. But what are you saying, Allah? What are you describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty Lord, in such a way? He says, because if I was to give him his attributes, then I'm liking him to the creation. But you are now liking him to something that doesn't exist. Why? Because he used the bricks that were used to smash down the castle of Iman and used it as a brick to build Islam. That's why he contradicted himself. You're running away from making similarities to Allah. Then you fell into the same mistake that you are running away from. Because anything that is not inside, that is outside, that is behind, not his left, not his right, in no direction at all, it is something that doesn't exist. And that is a reality. Why? Because he used the same brick that is used to smash down the castle of Iman to build Islam with it. While the ulama said, put this brick away, go back to the Quran and the Sunnah. It tells you which is the correct brick. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the problem even grew bigger today. Issues of wala and bara, issue of hakimiyya. Yani you tell me, companions spoke about hakimiyya? Did they really speak about the issue of hakimiyya in details? They didn't. Why? Because it wasn't a necessity at their time. Today it's a necessity. Today it's a necessity. Where someone says to you, communism and socialism, yani the ones who disbelieve in the existence of Allah, are equal to the sharia of Islam. Democracy and capitalism equal to Islam. And one complement the other. How? We are now disputing even tawheed al-rububiyya of Allah. Issues of wala and bara. The companions never really spoke about it. A man came to Umar radiallahu anhu, one of his subjects. He came to Umar and he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I want to use an accountant, a Christian. He said, why? Isn't he Muslims anymore? That is to do with wala al-bara. But in reality, it's a ruling that he gave based on the principles that he knew. But today the Muslims do not have these principles anymore. Today the Muslims are compromising the simplest things in Islam. And then I get someone who said, don't teach the brothers Tawheed. You can't teach them Tawheed. It confuses you. You don't know where to go and how to do, and you separate and cause fitna. I'm not separating and causing fitna. I'm teaching the brothers what Islam means. The most important knowledge is to know the fundamentals of Tawheed. Allah is one. There is nothing like Him. He is the Lord. At the same time, He is the only deity worthy of worship. La ilaha illallah has a meaning. There is no deity worthy of worship, truly worthy of worship, except Allah. Any acts of worship that is directed to other than Allah, it is kufr. And Allah has the most beautiful names and sublime attributes. We leave them as they are in the Quran and Sunnah. We do not enter with our rational mind, our philosophies, our understanding into interpreting the names and attributes. That's what you teach. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the only one would enter paradise is the muwahhid, the monotheist. That is tawheed. That is tawheed. Islam is not just storytelling. It's not just talking about stories after stories. It's not just about stories. But at the same time, the Quran used the stories to confirm tawheed in your heart. Tawheed in your heart, and this is the method of the Quran. And this is where I need to tell the brothers that I am upset with them. Why? Because when they learn tawheed, they think it's a matter of debate. That I take the knowledge so I can debate different students of knowledge. No. And I can speak with no manners to others and think I am above the rest. No. You're not learning. If you're learning tawheed for this purpose, wallahi, Allah would never ever put a barakah in that knowledge. And actually will be turning against you. You learn it to save yourself. The Shaykh read today, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have believed, Qu anfusakum, yourselves, wa ahlikum, and your family, Naran wa quduha an-nasu wal hijara, a fire fueled by people and stones. Alaykum anfusakum. Just worry about yourself. When you become a qualified Shaykh, a alim, but in reality, you're now a student. Unless you are qualified, then I say, I want to debate. It is not from the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah to sprout and open debates. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and turn away from the ignorant ones. It is not for you to debate anyone. It is not for you to speak to different da'is with ill manners. You have to have the manners. And then if you have something that is concerning you, come speak to your teachers. If they react, they react. They don't react, you've done what you needed to do. The Quran puts the aqidah in a beautiful way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He used a woman for all of you as an example and learn from her. Ra'ata Fir'aun. Daraba Allahu mathalan lilladhina amanu. Allah used an example to the believing men and the believing women. Amanu to everyone. For you, Ahmad, Muhammad, Mustafa, Ali, all of you, males, take an example from a woman. She understood Tawheed. Tawheed wasn't a matter of debate for her. It wasn't a matter to show off that I know and you don't know. I know my sheikh is this and your sheikh is that and your sheikh Jahmi and Ash'ari. No. That is not the topic that you should be involved in. But what she said? ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The wife of Fir'aun, مْرَأَةَ Fir'aun. What did she say? After her husband, Fir'aun, yani, how did the aqidah affected her life? You have to remember, she's not the wife of just some millionaire. She's the wife of someone who said, I am your Lord. Yani, this man owned Egypt and owned Bani Israel and owned the people and owned the rivers and owned everything. Everything under her command. She was living a life of luxury. If she wanted the mountain of gold, he will build her a mountain of gold. She had everything, but she understood the aqidah. She knew he's not the Lord. She knew he's not the Razzaq. She knew he does not hold paradise or Jahannam. A woman, she understood the aqidah. I teach brothers for 4 years aqidah and still don't understand the aqidah. They think aqidah is to debate and flex muscles and stand against some other shuyukh. No, that is wrong. Because you're not qualified enough. That is not your manhaj. The ulama, they said that is not the manhaj. The manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah is to teach the aqidah according to the Quran and Sunnah and turn away from the ignorant ones. She understood the aqidah, the wife of Fir'aun. She understood that all this wealth, it means nothing. And when her husband tortured her, he's asking her, come back, I'll give you whatever you like. How many of us, when I said in the earlier of the lecture that brothers with a long beard and they claim they're on Ahlul Sunnah, that a real calamity will chuck him off the mountain. Just if the mountain shakes a little bit, or fall, collapse, and they probably disown everything. But a woman, what did she say? A weak woman. She's the loner inside the castle where everyone is against her. She said, Rabbi ibni li indaka baytan fil jannah. Oh my Lord, build me a castle in the heavens. Because she understood that Allah is the Razzaq. Allah who wants to own everything. Allah who is the sustainer. Allah is the Razzaq. Allah owns everything. She understood the aqidah and reacted based on the aqidah. And so, and Maryam. Maryam, because she was chaste. Allah gave her Isa, but وَصَدَّقَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّهَا. And she believed in the words of Allah. She had the correct aqidah. She understood. It reacted with her life. She interacted with the aqidah. And the wife of Nuh and the wife of Lut, they treasoned. They went against their husbands by not believing in his aqidah, even though they are the wives of the prophets. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And Allah used an example, this woman, to the disbelievers, that they were married. They were married to the prophets. And they still, فَلَمْ يُغْنِيَا عَنْهُمَا مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْءٍ. There were no use for them. They went to Jahannam. They need not, they hear the aqidah every day. Manuh and Lut, what are they teaching? The aqidah. His wife would hear the aqidah every day. And the wife of Lut would hear it every day. They had no problem. They were listening. Like a lot of the Muslims today are good listeners. Brother, yes, I've got this lecture from XYZ Sheikh. Listen to it. Very good. Wallahi, goes from here, goes in here, comes out of there. Why? Because it has no effect. Because you're not reacting with the aqidah. You're not living it. You're not held ransom and hostage to it. It did not make the borders for you. That is the problem. Learning the aqidah, not enough. Living the aqidah is important. And most of us, we are good listeners. We're prepared to learn the aqidah. But we're not prepared to live it. So the truthfulness, a condition from the conditions of shahada, has to be there. And the sincerity. And the sincerity when one's learned. When he knows that the most important thing in his life, his priority is to learn about tawheed. But he has to be truthful, has to be sincere, and has to react with the aqidah. It's not just books we finish, words we learn, days we live. So the final advice that when we teach aqidah, yes, we expand the subject. You learn the 6 points of faith, arkan al-iman, and alhamdulillah. But the problem is, there is so much evil out there that contradict the authentic aqidah. And then you need to know what are these principles of evils so you can avoid them. And I give you the last example. To anyone who says there is no, we don't need to teach the aqidah. And I will read a small part to you of a letter that is distributed by one of the biggest organizations here in Sydney. A friendly note from your Muslim neighbor. And listen, Muslim have much in common with the Christian and Jews. Muslim like Christian and Jews worship the one God. That is something, yani, and they criticize, why do you teach people aqidah? Creator of the universe, Allah is the Arabic word for God. Muslim, like the Jew, Christian and Jews, pledge themselves to prayer, peace and justice, harmony, cooperation, compassion, whatever. Now listen, listen, subhanAllah al-Azim. We Muslims want you to know that Islam and democracy are comparable and complementary. Both rest on accountability, consultation, and so on. Now, wallahi, if you don't have understanding of aqidah, you think this is something to be excited with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that about the Christian and the Jews, you're not on anything until you believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how can we have so much in common? And then, democracy and Islam are compatible, and one complete the other. Yani, Islam is the cake and democracy is the icing on the cake. Where did they get this from? That goes against Tawheed al-Hakimiyya. That goes against the Rububiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That goes against the Wala and Bara. That goes up against the simplest things that the Sahaba used to know. Today, I need more than 2 lectures to rebuke all this. Tayyib. If we don't teach Tawheed to our brothers, if they believe in some of this, they have fallen into shirk. So we say to the du'at, for the greater good of the community, the greater good of the Muslims, keep quiet and don't talk about Tawheed. And they forget about the principle that is the word of Tawheed before the word of Tawheed before unifying our words. Kalimatu Tawheedi qabla Tawheed al-Kalima. The correct understanding, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, has more priority than uniting the Ummah. Uniting the Ummah, we leave it up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We try our best. But to unite, if you want to merge two corporations, based on what do you merge them? Isn't there have to be a common ground? You need the common ground to base things. Otherwise, once you get halfway, we're all going to fight, and then everyone going to go his own way. So the advice, the priority of the Muslim is to really learn Islam. And the first knowledge you need to learn is the learn of tawheed, knowledge of Tawheed and the Aqeedah. What do you stand for and how you live your life as a Muslim? What are the rules? What is the shirk that people can fall into? What is innovation? And then you learn the issues of jurisprudence, your fiqh. How do I pray five times? And all comes hand in hand. Together you learn it. So your a'mal can be accepted. So your deeds can be accepted. That is the way of da'wah, and that is how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did his da'wah, where for 13 years he would teach him the meaning of la ilaha illallah. And then he told them how to pray, how to fast, how to pay zakat, how to perform pilgrimage, what is haram and what is halal. قولوا قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك جزاكم الله